Welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program this week. My guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him during the next half an hour. You can call those in to area code 765-496-1999. You can send emails to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. I understand we're talking to you by cell phone today because there's no power in your office.
Correct. Yes, Stan. It's number one, it's good to be with you and good to be with our listening audience. We appreciate everyone tuning in to WBAA and NPR. Here at Old Stoney, we are without power today. We had a tree, partial component of a tree, a large limb that went down just south of Old Stoney and south of the Clinton County Jail. Unfortunately, did some damage to an addition on a home, namely a garage. But at the same time, while that limb fell, it unfortunately damaged some integral pieces of our electrical grid. So at this time, power outage is limited to the area around Old Stoney, the Clinton County Jail, just south of the Clinton County Jail. And Frankfort City Light and Power are working very, very hard to remedy this issue as quickly as possible. But this is why I am talking to you by cell phone and not from my office line.
What do you know in terms of when power might be restored?
Several hours is what we're being told right now. It's a very bad situation. Wasn't necessarily wind that caused this large limb to fall. We are thinking more of the saturation effect. We have no reason even to believe that the tree was dead. It may have been dying, but wasn't dead. But the saturation and all the rain that we've gotten caused the limb to fall, fell on a key piece of electrical infrastructure, and now we are here. I will say the electrical outage was more widespread, and our men and women at FC PF were able to limit that. So we do apologize for inconvenience to this limited area of our city. We're working very hard to get this back up and running as quickly as possible.
Any sense of how many people were without power at the height of this?
I would say multiple blocks. Now we're down to a very minimized area again. The neighborhood directly south of the jail, including Old Stoney, which is directly north of the jail. So I would say a minimum of 3 to 4 blocks probably right now, if I had to guess, are impacted by the power outage at this time.
On to something else I want to spend a little bit of time talking about today, something that the county commissioners have done. They've passed an ordinance that'll charge people who stay in the county jail for more than 3 days $30 a day if they've been found guilty to help offset the cost of that imprisonment. What are your opinions of that idea?
Well, a lot of these individuals are repeat offenders. I think you and I have had this conversation about Narcan being used. I'm a big proponent of Narcan being used, but it ultimately gets put back on the taxpayer's shoulders to pay for this. So individuals that are repeat offenders, that it's a revolving door, out of jail, back into jail, the idea of having them pay to help offset some of the ownership that the taxpayer has to take, I don't think is a bad idea, especially in a time where we find ourselves with property tax caps constitutionally, where especially county governments are finding it very hard to find funds to clear roads, put officers on the street, and run a jail program at the same time. So I'm interested to see the fiscal impact, and, you know, I can only assume that the sheriff's done his due diligence on this and the county commissioners believe that in the end it will help the taxpayer.
There has been a fair amount written about how the costs associated with imprisonment or court cases actually make it more likely to have people become recidivists and go back to jail. The argument basically is that people who may not already have much money get charged court fees and now get charged, I guess, for their jail stay in the Clinton County Jail. And then after that, when they can't pay the fees that they've accrued, they get hauled back to prison, which, of course, just costs them and law enforcement and taxpayers even more. That being the case, do you think this was properly considered in your county, and if they're trying to make it a money-making endeavor or at least a money-offsetting endeavor?
You know, I know as well, and I'm no expert in running a jail. I'm not a sheriff, but, you know, in watching documentaries and reading articles, there's also a lot of people out there that use it as a place to get a free meal and get in out of the cold. And, you know, there's plenty of jobs out there that are available that these people can be working. So maybe if they know that, hey, listen, yeah, I can't just mess up and go in and get three square meals a day and have a safe place to stay, that they are being charged for that. Maybe that's an additional incentive once they get out to stay clean and get a good paying job and work in one of our manufacturing industries in the industrial park, way in society.
I see your point, but isn't it also possible that if they're racking up additional fees for having been in jail, that it's more likely going to feed into, even if I assume that you're right, that they do want, you know, three squares and a roof over their head, and I have definitely talked to people who have expressed that sentiment to me, so you're right that that's a thing, but isn't it more likely that they're just going to wind up there more often or for longer periods of time, and this fee isn't going to solve that problem?
Well, again, you know, I think it's for the sheriff to explain the ramifications of the unintended consequences. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm an expert on how to run a jail. From a taxpayer standpoint, though, I do see the basic concept of these people that keep going in and going in and going in. You know, listen, I mean, it shouldn't all be burdened by the taxpayer. And anything that we can do to offset that a little bit and put more money back into our roads or back into the parks, then I think that's a good thing. Over the long term, though, it's going to be up to the commissioners and our elected sheriff to show the unintended consequences of this, which is what you're talking about, or the positives that come from this, and I suppose only time will tell.
One of the arguments that's been made by people there in the county is that folks who are not breaking the law maybe shouldn't be paying for those who are, and perhaps the non-lawbreakers, the argument goes, are being disproportionately affected. However, everyone who's a county resident is already paying county taxes, which support in part the operations of the jail, and that includes those people who get incarcerated. So I wonder if you think this isn't a little bit like people who don't have kids themselves saying they will never vote for an education funding referendum and failing to realize that in that case, good schools make the whole community better. I mean, are we missing the forest for the trees here?
Well, I don't think so, because remember, there's more cost to this than just a criminal going to jail. I mean, you know, public defenders, who do you think pays the way for public defenders? That's the taxpayers of Clinton County. So, you know, people that are going through the court system and going through the criminal system are being well supported by the taxpayers of Clinton County. And I don't think asking, you know, $30 a day, something very, very minimum, you know, to help offset that a little bit, I don't think that's a bad thing. And if it makes people think twice that maybe, hey, yeah, let's go back out, let's cause a ruckus, let's go back and get those three square meals and that safe space over our head, you know, maybe it makes them rethink that a little bit. Hey, that's not a bad thing. And we're in an ever-increasing world of costs. Counties and cities are finding it very, very hard to survive on the revenues. We want taxes to be as low as possible. So we've got to start thinking innovatively. And this might be one of those things that's tested. If what you're saying, if it doesn't work, then hey, it can be repealed and we can go back to the way things were. But for right now, I mean, let's give it a try. Let's take a little burden off the taxpayer. I mean, gosh, we're paying for public defenders. You know, we're putting a roof over these people's head. They go out, they come right back in. Not all of them, some of them. So let's take a little relief off the taxpayers. Gosh, we're being burdened enough.
You talked about the sheriff and the commissioners having to come back later and address whether there had been any consequences intended or unintended. Let me ask you the opposite side of that, which is, do you know anything about whether there was study done on the front end of this to figure out either how many other counties are doing this, how many people are staying in the county jail for more than 3 days, what an appropriate amount of money might be. Do you know whether there was some sort of scientific...
I don't, Stan. I'm sorry. I do not. It's enough for me to manage a police force 34 and oversee, building a brand new police station and keeping crime under control. You know, that's why we have an elected sheriff. That's why we have elected county commissioners. So I am not sure if that was done. And to be brutally honest with you, since our new sheriff has come in, a lot of those conversations haven't been had between the city and the county. Okay? I would love for that relationship between our sheriff and our chief of police to improve, because, you know, our chief of police has done a pretty darn good job. I mean, we've risen to the eighth safest city in Indiana. I was talking to a police officer last night, and he was telling me, he said, Chris, crime is pretty non-existent right now. It's pretty darn slow because people know we don't mess around. I hope our sheriff reaches out a little more and becomes in tune with what we're doing in our city, build the partnership with the city. We're here. Our doors are wide open. I have not had one visit since that sheriff has been in office. And I'm not going to speak for our chief of police, but, you know, I know that relationship could be stronger.
Are you saying the sheriff is kind of acting as a lone wolf on this?
We want to be a partner. The reason the city of Frankfort has been successful is because we've been a great partner. County commissioners, our county council, we have wonderful relationships with them. We want the same thing with the Clinton County Sheriff's Department. That's why I can't sit here and tell you were studies done. You know, what did those numbers show? You know, we are eager to team up and to partner. And our doors wide open. Can't force another elected official to do that. But I'm saying live on air today that invitation and our doors are open. And I think a lot can be learned from what the Frankfort Police Department's doing. And I'm proud of our county deputies. Our county deputies are fantastic. But ultimately, our sheriff is leading our county deputies. And I believe that our elected county sheriff and our chief of police, we do want that synergistic partnership. And I hope that strengthens in the future, Stan.
So let me ask you if this is going to change at all the way that your police do their jobs, because obviously their actions could have people wind up in the county jail. And I know there are times where maybe even regular per shift or several times a week where a police officer will have an opportunity to make a decision between, do I give this person a warning or do I haul them off to the county jail? Is this new policy going to be talked about within your police force and have some effect on those types of decisions?
Let me be very clear. No, it will not. We will not change policy. When we find someone that under our discretion needs to go to jail, and I'm not a police officer, believe in the police officers that we are hiring, will in no way impact whether cuffs are put on that individual or not. In no way.
I will say also, you're breaking up a little bit, so if you can, I don't know, because this is because of the cell service.
I'm sorry. Right. So I apologize.
No, I got your answer. I'm just saying, hopefully the cell signal will hold out on us.
Very good.
One more quick thing on this. The American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana has come out against the policy, including pointing out that if someone's in jail, then they're not at their job making money, which of course hinders their ability to pay the fees that they're being assessed for being in jail. What do you make of that argument?
Well, a lot of people, you know, if you behave well in jail and you have that track record, you can go on to work release. And on work release, you can go out and you can earn an income. So, you know, again, I'm not an elected sheriff and I'm not an expert on this. And I know, you know, some violent offenders probably aren't even applicable for this program. But I do know that there are ways to work your way through that system to get to that work release program to then go out and do something productive that you would be earning an income.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. You can call in your questions at area code 765-496-1999. Send an email to ask@wbaa.org if you have a question there. Mr. Mayor, on to other things. Speaking of schools and what people pay for and things like that, Frankfort Community Schools is going to be offering free breakfast, I saw, to all students this coming academic year. That seems like a pretty positive development for your community.
It really is, and that's something we want to promote. I have breakfast. I mean, scientifically, it's one of the most important meals of the day. It's not the most important meal of the day. My wife tells me that, and I should take that advice a little bit more, Stan, before I get up and get moving on with my day. But it's good to know that every single kid in the community schools of Frankfort will have that opportunity to go to school and get a square meal to start their brain. And I believe it'll lead to a more productive day. It's a great thing to promote for families, you know. And as you and I have talked about, we are trying to build a community that attracts families. So for families to know that that's a perk that their student would get if they moved to Frankfort, a free day, so to speak, at the start of the day, I think it's a great thing. And I believe in our school board and our superintendent, and I know they're very honed in the finances. So if they believe that this is fiscally responsible, I support them in this. I support them in this program.
And to those people who may be calling in, we've got a couple of people calling in now with questions. So if you get a busy signal or someone doesn't pick up, just feel free to call back and we'll get you back on the line with questions for Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes today. On to other things. The Clinton County Community Foundation has offered up a $250,000 matching grant to help you start to raise money for the renovation of the TPA Park pool, which we've talked about on the past couple of shows. Where else are you looking for cash right now? And I ask in part because you've been raising money for Prairie Creek Park, and now you're raising money for the pool. It seems like there are only so many donors, and you could worry a little bit about donor fatigue.
And there is, and the Community Foundation was a huge donor, a six-figure donor to Prairie Creek Park. But, you know, what I find from organizations in our community, they manage their money very well, so that when a special project comes along, they can give to it. But I completely hear what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. So we want to be careful who we go to. So we'll be approaching our industrial partners, especially those that we give tax abatements to. Tax abatements are great incentives, and they make our economy strong. But, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing to go to a company who's been given a tax incentive and say, hey, we've got this great new aquatic center we're building in Frankfort. Why not get back to the taxpayers a little bit if you're having a year with a little extra profit?
So we'll be going think a little quid pro quo is okay there?
No, it's not a quid pro quo. I'm just saying, come on. Our taxpayers have been a little bit to you. So, you know, that helps you become more stable in terms of an industry. Why not look at giving a little bit back to Frankfort? It's obviously not a condition of that tax abatement because that tax abatement's already been given. But many of our industrial players have been given tax abatements. So going to our industrial player, approaching them about these opportunities, obviously we will be doing that. Frankfort has a very strong industrial base, as you well know. And then we have a very strong healthcare system as well. So we'll be talking to our healthcare providers in town and even our small businesses. If you go inside Ivy Tech and you look at the wall inside Ivy Tech of all of the donors that we've had in Frankfort, both small businesses, private citizens, industrial leaders, commercial leaders, it's really stunning. The private-public partnerships are what drive these projects, like our new aquatic center or Prairie Creek Park. It makes for our taxpayers. And we thank the Community Foundation for their huge gift to our aquatic center. And once it's completed, it's going to be one of the finest aquatic centers in North Central Indiana.
And remind me, how much money are you looking to raise for this, and how much more do you need to go?
Sure. So we're looking at bonding around $9.9 million. Fundraise an additional $2 to $3 million. So we got a ways to go on the fundraising, but in order to save as much money as possible, we've stretched this project out until a completion date of 2021. Bid documents and specifications are still being drawn up. They won't be done till the end of July. So our fundraising period right now really will run through the fall. And with the Community Foundation matching grant, if we have another small business, say a provider, an ACCS that would step up and say, hey, I'm going to pledge $5,000, or Arnie's, I'm going to pledge $5,000, that will be matched and turned into $10,000 up to that $250,000 matching amount.
We talked about Prairie Creek Park as part of this discussion. Speaking of that, you just had a pedestrian bridge installed there this week. But there's also some news that the wet spring in your community is affecting Frankfort the way it's affected Lafayette and West Lafayette, which is there are some things that have been slowed down, and it sounds like one of the projects that's been slowed down so that now it's not going to get done in time for the hot dog festival like you'd hoped is the park. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, the rain has put a damper on that, unfortunately, and soil conditions. You and I have talked about this. Anytime you're revitalizing a downtown that's been built on for 200 years, no matter how much due diligence you do, you find some things in the ground. We had one underground storage tank that was put there around 1922 that we had to take out and do some soil excavation and work with IDEM on. Wasn't a large cost to the project. We were able to keep that well within our contingency. But things like that and the rain factor, we're going to be pushed back till August. The good news is that things like our Oktoberfest, and then we are planning a very large Latino Heritage Festival as well this fall. All of those things will happen in Prairie Creek Park. And as you mentioned, the pedestrian bridge being put in yesterday, that was sponsored by NHK Seating of America for about $75,000. So that was another great sponsorship from the private sector. And that bridge is there thanks to NHK.
Any other projects that you've had to push back the deadlines on or slow down because of all of the rain this spring?
No, the only other the major infrastructure project we have going on, Washington Avenue, we are waiting on AT&T to get some work done. Anytime you do a major roadway project, it may be interesting for folks to know, not only do you have your main contractors like your Atlas excavators, but you also have all those ancillary services like AT&T or Comcast or Vectren that also has to come in and do work. So right now we're waiting on a couple of those contractors to finish up before Atlas can get back in and go to town on Washington Avenue. But that project pretty much has stayed on course. And phase two, of course, will also begin right on the tail end of phase one. And hopefully this time next year, we're close to having phase two accomplished. That's our goal. And that will be clear down to Washington Street, where Washington Avenue meets Washington Street, very close to Prairie Creek Park.
You mentioned you were going to have a Latino Heritage Festival later this year in Prairie Creek Park once it's completed. I'm curious about the genesis of that. You and I have talked a number of times on this show about the fact that about a quarter, 20 to 25% of your population there are of Latino heritage. Is this something that you'd been hearing more about, the greater desire to celebrate that segment of your community?
This is one of the first things I talked to our community development director, Annie Bacon, about when she came on board. And now that we're going to have this great space to celebrate community events, we want to celebrate our diversity. We believe that inclusivity in our community could be one of our strongest backbones in Frankfort. And so we want to celebrate the Latino heritage. We really have not had the opportunity to do that, but we want to make this an annual event. We are going to have dancers. We're going to have authentic Latino food. We're going to have mariachi bands. We're going to have a lot of the Latino youth as a part of this. So I really hope it becomes an opportunity for the Anglo community and the Latino community to come together and really celebrate culture, the Latino culture, as so many great things about it, whether it be the great food, the camaraderie, the family structures. I think it's going to be a kickoff of that, and hopefully this will be an annual event, really a way to bring the community together.
And when are you shooting for that to happen?
We're shooting for that to happen in September. So keep your eye out for that. We'll definitely be doing a lot of promo around it, and that will be happening at the newly constructed Prairie Creek Park.
We talked earlier in the show regarding the jail discussion about the problem with drugs and Narcan that you've had. One positive development that I've noted, there were some numbers that came out from the American Medical Association that show that Indiana is doing better with respect to opioid addiction. This is something that your city has struggled with like so many others. But there is news that the Frankfurt Hospital has seen something like a 90% decline recently in the number of opioid prescriptions filled. And I wanted to see if you thought this was translating in a noticeable way to the rest of the community there.
Absolutely. Our overall overdose numbers are down. Our emergency room manager, I will definitely tout her. Her name is Brandy. I won't share her last name. She is a wonderful nurse who has kind of really taken a hold of this program, and we are lowering the amounts of opioids prescribed out of the emergency room, which I think is a great thing. Opioids have their place, but they should not be common in society. It's a very serious drug. So yes, I applaud IU Health for the work they're done, for the work they're doing, and the work they've done. We are seeing a palpable difference in our community when it comes to this.
Is it the kind of thing where your police force has noticed that they're not having to use as many doses of naloxone as well?
Yes, it is. And one thing we'll be announcing this Monday night, Stan, and something that I talked about in my State of the City address, we will have a resolution going before the council to put down $100,000 to help open up an inpatient rehabilitation clinic for addicts, substance abusers in our community that have an opioid abuse disorder. We want to erase the stigma of addiction. Having addiction should be looked at like having a broken ankle. People need help. People need treatment. So, yes, we want enforcement through our police department. We're getting that. We want prevention, which is what the fine folks of IU Health are doing and the Healthy Communities Coalition of Clinton County. But we want to put our money where our mouth is, and this is something we've been hearing from our taxpayers. And we want to offer up $100,000 to a not-for-profit group called 180 Recovery Resources, who is wanting to build an inpatient rehabilitation clinic right in Frankfurt where folks get long-term care. And the great thing about it is it will be located on the outskirts of town, so it won't be in any hot spots. They won't be able to go into neighborhoods and buy drugs or hang out with those old friends they used to have. But they'll be able to get jobs in our industrial park, which is important for somebody that's recovering, to stay active, to stay busy, to work on yourself physically and mentally. And so that's something that I'm very excited to announce that will go before the city council this coming Monday night, and we're doing that within our existing budget with no additional appropriation.
And will those services be available to just Frankfurt and Clinton County residents, or if people came from Tippecanoe County, would they be able to take advantage of that?
I believe 180 Recovery Resources would be to help anyone who needed the help. So if it's someone that was coming over that qualified for the program that they believe would be a good fit, I know they wouldn't be turned away with the folks that will be running 180 Recovery Resources.
Okay, well, Mr. Mayor, that's the time we've got for today. Thanks so much, and I hope the power gets back on soon for you.
Thanks, Dan. God bless, and have a great day.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can send questions for any of our four mayors to ask@WBAA.org. Tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter, or find shows archived at WBAA.org. And join us at this time next week for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.